Hi, I'm Roxanne Grinstead, author and illustrator of the book The Wildflowers of Holden, and the founder of the Holden Wildflower Garden Society. I've been coming to Holden for 30 years, and I've come to know and love the native plants and flowers of this unique spot in creation. Since I can't be here today, I've brought some slides, and when it's time to change the slide, I'll ring the bell. When I first visited Holden and saw the beautiful wildflowers, I knew I was seeing the very hand of our Creator God. I learned everything I could about the flowers here, and I began to paint them and photograph them. A few years ago, during my visits, I noticed that the wildflowers I saw at Holden's gardens were becoming fewer and fewer. The more aggressive flowers were choking them out. I had already begun to grow wildflowers in my own yard, and I had a dream. I thought, why couldn't our beautiful native wildflowers be grown right here in Holden's gardens? That way, people who, for whatever reason, couldn't hike out of the village into the wilderness, or those just learning about them, could start right here, at coffee break or after sessions, to learn about our own wildflowers. I shared my idea with Carol Reed, and in 1996, we formed the Holden Wildflower Garden Society to promote the growth and restoration of native plants to Holden Gardens, and also to educate all who visit Holden in wilderness ethics and botany. We decided that for now there'd be no membership lists or cards, and that we'd communicate through the Holden newsletter, because we need to use all of our efforts to begin bringing back our wildflowers. You are welcome to join our membership. To be a member, just learn about the native plants and flowers like you are doing right now, or volunteer to help in the gardens while you're here, or make a donation to Holden Village and mark Wildflower Garden on the corner if you write a check. Holden is always in need of gardening tools and supplies and would be delighted to use any that you could choose to donate. If you do donate a new or used equipment, keep track of your donations and receipts to report to your tax person at the end of the year as a donation. So let's take a walk around the village and get started learning about our wildflowers. You might want to bring a camera along. Flower watching is becoming a passion with more and more people. Come along with me to the Chalet 2 Meditation Garden. After Chalet 2 burned down, our directors suggested that this might make a nice, quiet garden spot away from the village activities. Also, it has become our outdoor lab and nursery for propagating our own little wild ones. This is our crimson columbine, one of our first big successes. You can see it in moist, shady places on wilderness trails. Hummingbirds love its bright color and sweet nectar. Another flower that loves cool, moist places is Western Bleeding Heart. Its heart-shaped pink blossoms cascade down over its beautiful lacy foliage. If you're lucky, you'll see it in the wilderness by streams. This is our mother plant, which I rescued from a woodland before it was bulldozed and burned. All the bleeding heart in the village are her children. Yellow stream violets are easy to spot, with their heart-shaped leaves and cheerful yellow flowers in the spring. If you look closely at the flowers, you'll see dark lines. These are the guidelines for bees and other insects to find nectar. But there are also nectar guides that only insects can see. They're visible to us only under infrared light. Like lights on a runway, these honey guides guide the insects to the nectar. Isn't our Creator amazing? Trillium is the queen of the shady forest. Her broad leaves are designed to catch whatever light is available on the forest floor. Pure white flowers age to soft pink. Trillium has many specific requirements, and Holden's gardeners are working slowly and carefully to bring her back to Holden's Gardens. Most everywhere you look at Holden, you'll see Starry Solomon Seal. This tough little plant has beautiful white flowers in the spring. King Solomon's royal seal was a six-pointed star. Starry Solomon Seal is happy under the shade of trees, but will grow most anywhere. Little Starry Solomon Seal has a big brother called Western Solomon Seal. Once you see this large, majestic plant in bloom, you will never forget it. Its beautiful plume of white flowers fills the garden with fragrance. You can see Western Solomon Seal by streams on Holden's trails. If you find one at your native plant nursery and want to bring it home to your garden, just remember, this big guy needs space to run. Look closely at the ground for a mat of small, shiny green leaves. Look even closer, and you might see the tiny pink twin flowers. These are also called Linnea or Linnea. Twin flowers' botanical name is Linnea borealis. It's named after Swedish botanist Linnaeus. It was his favorite flower. Linnaeus is considered the father of systematic botany, and because of him, plants and flowers have a scientific name that is universal the world over. Campanula rotundifolia has many common names. Bluebell of Scotland and harebell are the two you'll hear most often. And yes, it does grow in northern climates all around the world. In the wilderness, you'll see it by lakes and streams, and the plant will be much smaller than our pampered garden baby here. Who can resist those beautiful blue bells? Now come over to the sunny side of the garden. Meet Cascade Penstemon. We have found Penstemon to be one of the hardiest and most beautiful flowers for use in Holden's gardens. The botanical name is Penstemon cereulatus. It has serrated leaf edges growing close to the ground. This is the parent plant in my own garden. From her seeds, we propagated over 30 new plants that you'll see all over the flower beds. When I come home from my trips to Holden, I tell her, I've seen your babies, and they are beautiful. Another plant that likes the sun is our wild rose. They can grow in deep shade, too. In fact, most of those you see on your hikes will be in the forest. They look just like your single garden roses in charming miniature. Now here's a plant that can stand the hot sun. It's called Pokerwichera, or alum root. You can see this plant happily blooming on the rocks above Lake Chelan at Lucerne or on the rocky trail above Heart Lake. Here's the parent plant in my garden back home. Look closely at the leaf. Does this remind you of something? That's right. This is our native white coral bell. Growing native flowers in Holden's gardens makes sense. It's our best stewardship of creation. Most wildflowers are perennials and come up every year. Once the plant is established, they live a long time, and we don't need to replace them. This saves time and resources. Flowers native to our Glacier Peak area and Wenatchee National Forest are adapted to our own climate. They need less water and have fewer diseases than garden flowers. People come from all over the world to Holden. They come to learn and experience what makes this valley and village so unique. I don't think they come to see the same flowers they can see anywhere. In growing our native flowers and plants, we're supporting our native insect, bird, and animal populations as well, since in nature, all creatures depend on each other. For example, this native butterfly, like most all butterflies, will only lay its eggs on a specific native plant. It can feed from any garden flower, but if it can't find its own specific host plant, it cannot reproduce. Some butterflies are facing extinction because their native host plants are becoming rare. If you want to start a native flower garden back home, you're in luck. There are native plant nurseries in every state now. Your local nursery can tell you what flowers are native to your area. Be sure the plants you obtain are nursery grown, not taken from the wild. We must not deplete our fragile wild areas. Most plants taken from the wild will die of shock from transplanting, and nurseries now have the technology to grow hundreds of varieties of beautiful native wildflowers and supply you with young plants or seeds. In spring of 1999, our Chelan Ranger District personnel visited Holden and studied the plants of the village and brought us a recommendation to begin removing aggressive non-native plants from our lawns and gardens and replacing them with our natives. You might ask, why all the fuss? Let me start from the beginning. Our North American continent has been isolated for eons. The plants and animals have developed self-contained ecosystems with hundreds of checks and balances which keep each plant or animal population in control. Everything is in perfect balance. Insects and animals feed on native plants. A complex biology is present in the soil itself, which keeps plant populations stable, and the seasons, weather, and even occasional forest fires all play a part in a totally interdependent environment. Native Americans knew and used this natural environment. When the first settlers came from the Old World to the New, they brought their favorite plants with them. Some of them stayed under cultivation, but others escaped into the wild, crowding out our natives. When this happens, these non-native plants are classified as noxious weeds. Noxious weeds are problems because they're plants from other continents and they have none of the biological controls, no natural enemies, and our native insects and animals don't feed on them. This field in the Mettau Valley, north and east of Holden, looks so idyllic, like the fields I remember from my childhood. But it has been invaded by knapweed, a nondescript scrubby plant. It will eventually choke out all the beautiful native lupin and sunflowers. We are carefully studying this whole situation. Don't worry, we won't take all your favorite flowers out of Holden Gardens. Some garden flowers and plants are perfectly safe and will not spread into the wild. The iris that the miners brought in, the cultivated Shasta daisy and the rose and daylilies are all well-behaved and will be here for you to enjoy. But there is another daisy from Europe called the oxeye daisy, which we must keep from spreading into the wilderness. Foxglove, butter and eggs, the little yellow snapdragon, and other aggressive non-natives will be removed. So please don't bring your favorite flowers from home to plant in our gardens. We're carefully studying the situation and are proceeding with utmost caution. These beautiful Colorado columbine and this Mexican coral bells, they're lovely. But I won't bring them to Holden. They're too closely related to our native columbine and our native coral bell and would cross-pollinate. Now that we've toured Holden's gardens, let's walk up the trail and see some wildflowers that we don't yet have in our gardens. Before we go, let me remind you of some important wilderness considerations. Check at the hike house before you leave, bring the proper gear, and walk lightly in the wilderness. Be sure to stay on the trails. When we stop for a break or lunch, sit on the trail or a log or a stone, not in the flowers or the field. Soon we'll be coming to switchbacks. Switchbacks are those sharp turns in the trail that you meet when you're climbing. Never ever cut the switchback by going off the main trail and taking a shortcut. This kills the vegetation and could cause the whole trail to wash out. I'm sure you've all been told not to pick the flowers. We have to make sure our enthusiasm for nature isn't the very thing that destroys it. Don't be tempted to dig them either. Like I said, most native plants will not survive if disturbed, and nursery-grown starts better and adapt easier to your garden. Here's a tiger lily. You might have seen these on the bus as you came up to Holden. It takes many years for it to reach this size. This native lily can be threatened by a disease called the cucumber mosaic virus. It's carried by Asian lilies like the stargazer and by plants like vinca. Avoiding bringing in plant diseases is another reason we want to grow our own natives in Holden's gardens. If you've come up to the village in May, you might have seen the big dogwood trees blooming in the woods as you rode up on the bus. This is a young tree I saw at Lucerne. Now we're crossing those little streams on the trail from the village toward Heart Lake. Now watch along the ground for a close relative of that dogwood tree, the Canadian dogwood or bunchberry. It grows close to the ground in moist spots. And after the flower comes a bunch of red berries. See this tall bluebell along the moist trails on the way to Heart and Holden Lake? It's also right near the village on the nature trail. The little pink buds turn blue when they've opened, so there's a cascade of pink and blue and pink and blue. And they are tall, too, 4 or 5 feet. If you hike to the darkest part of the old growth forest on the Honeymoon Heights Trail in May, you might be lucky enough to see the Calypso Orchid. Its bulb-like corn is so delicate that it can rupture if the flower is picked or stepped on, and the whole plant might die. It is one of our most sensitive flowers and only grows in old growth forests. Botanists have not been successful in propagating this plant, and so we must all be especially careful to preserve it. Here's another variety of penstemon. Penstemon brightens those trails in the wilderness with its beautiful blue and purple flowers. To me, penstemon says wilderness. We hope to have many varieties of penstemon in Holden's garden soon, because all penstemon are so very hardy and such a beautiful plant. Watch when you're crossing streams for the yellow monkey flower. There are several varieties of monkey flower in the North Cascades. There's this small yellow one, and there's also a larger, beautiful fuchsia pink variety called the Lewis monkey flower or the crimson monkey flower. The crimson monkey flower was discovered by Meriwether Lewis on his expedition exploring the West. He was so impressed with it that they named it after him, Mimulus lewisi. We also have monkey flowers in Holden's gardens, but I haven't gotten a picture of it yet. When you cross the hot, dry places on the Holden Lake Trail, you might see scarlet gilia. It's such a bright red, it has many colorful names, including firecracker flower. But there are very few of these plants on the Holden Lake Trail, and it reproduces only by seed, so please try not to disturb them. Look in the shade of trees for the beautiful blue Jacob's ladder. It was named for its leaves, which look like the rungs of the ladder in the Bible story. This is another plant which is seldom seen, so do take care not to disturb it. Lupin is king of the high country. There are several species of lupin in the Cascades. Lupin was named after Lupus, the wolf. It was once thought that lupin ravaged the soil like a wolf, since the soil around it was often so poor. But now we know it's just the opposite. Lupin is a nitrogen fixer and enriches the soil on which it grows. We're trying to get lupin started for the Holden Gardens, but the ground squirrels find it very tasty. Indian paintbrush comes in several shades of orange, red, magenta, yellow, and even white. It's a classic example of interdependence. It cannot be transplanted because it's so closely connected with the soil and the other plants around it. I've been told its seeds cannot even germinate unless they are near the roots of certain plants, one of which is lupin. Shooting stars are one of the most beautiful and interesting of Holden's wildflowers. You have to get down close to see the details of its structure. Most of our alpine species grow in bogs or on lakeshores. But there are three lowland varieties if you would like to try some in your home garden. Well, I have to go now. I'm trying to get some more pictures, as you can imagine, and maybe show you some more wildflowers the next time I come to Holden. Remember to learn as much as you can about wildflowers, either in my book or any of the other wonderful field guides you can find in bookstores. And hopefully I'll meet you sometime when we're back up at Holden together.